Last week, we took a week to kind of talk about our theme, Alive in Christ, and to really study and examine what does that look like when someone has made the decision that they are going to be alive in Christ. What do you see in that person's life as a result of that? And we studied those characteristics, and we really prayed and asked the Lord that they would be evidence in our life all year long. And I hope that you will make decisions regarding those goals and disciplines, that they will be a part of your life. Today, we begin a brand new series on the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits, but fruit of the Spirit. So when we think about the fruit of the Spirit, when someone knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Spirit of God is alive in them, what do you see in their life? And there's 9 different attributes listed in these 2 verses. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And we're going to begin that series today with looking at the fruit of love. God says when His love is in us, His Spirit is in us rather, that you will see a Christ-like biblical love. And we want to look at that and examine it from the Scriptures today, the fruit of love. A wealthy older gentleman had just recently married a lovely younger woman. And as they were enjoying the early days of their marriage, he was beginning to wonder whether or not she married him for true love or for his money. So one day he thought he'd put it to the test, and he said, "Sweetheart, tell me the truth. If I lost all of my money tomorrow, would you still love me?" And she said, "Oh, sweetheart, of course I would still love you, and I would miss you terribly." And he discovered it was not true love. It was indeed for his money. And listen, oftentimes in life, we can be suspect of where is somebody at in their love. Do they love me? Thinking of your spouse, thinking of your children, thinking about life. What is love and what is it being manifested? Is it as it should be in your relationships? Well, God wants you and I to bear the fruit of love. As Christians, we should possess and display a Christ-like love. And the Bible says that love is the first fruit of the Spirit. It's the first characteristic that flows from a life where Jesus Christ is alive in them. And there's a reason for that. Look at John 15:5 in your notes. The Bible says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." So if you made the decision we talked about last Sunday to be alive in Christ, then the characteristics of Christ are going to be alive in you. Well, Galatians 5 teaches us the first one is love. So if you've made the decision in 2019, I'm going to be alive in Christ, people are going to see a biblical love in you. When we are connected to Christ, who is love, then people are going to see love in and through our life. And this is not the kind of love that you and I can produce our own. This is only a love that God can produce through us. The Bible says in 1 John 4:16 in your notes, "And we know and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him." God is love. And when we are alive in Christ, people see that love in us. And so the Spirit-filled life, the individual who has committed to be alive in Christ, they are displaying that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus is alive through them and is producing in them what they could not produce. It is Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 John 3:16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." So Jesus Christ proved his love, by giving his life. If we have received him, then his love should be shown through us to other people as well. Now, when somebody has the love of Christ, it's easy to see. It's hard to hide. They stand out because they have a disposition towards others that is not natural, but it is there by God, and it is indeed the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does that love look like? I want us to examine a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And for sake of time, we're going to look at 2 verses, verse 4 and verse 5. Let's look at that together. The Bible says charity. Now, charity is synonymous with love. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. And here's a description of 1 Corinthians 13 of a biblical Christ-like love. Now, when we've decided to be alive in Christ, the fruit of the Spirit is love. One of the very first things that people should see in us is the love of Christ, and that love being displayed towards our spouse, towards our children, towards everyone we come into contact with. But what does that love look like according to the Word of God? Well, let's study this biblical love. And we see, first of all, number one, that this love is patient. The Bible says charity suffereth long. The word suffereth long means slowness to anger. The two Greek words here, makrothermos, mean a long time to boil. There are some people in life, it takes a lot to rile them up. There are some people in life, they can get riled up pretty quick. The Bible says a biblical love is patient. They're slow to anger. It takes a long time to boil. We don't want to wait till we get to heaven to get along with the people down here on the earth. The one person said, to dwell above with those we love, oh, that will be glory. To dwell below with those we know, well, that's another story. And sometimes that's the way it is in the Christian life, is we come to church and we sing songs and we worship and we smile, but at home, it's not as it should be. And there's not love there. And oftentimes there's a lack of patience because Christ is not being lived in us. But when we allow the love of Christ to show through us, we see that this love is a patient love. It is a long-suffering love towards others. But notice, secondly, that this love is kind. The Bible says it puffeth not itself, and it is kind. Just as patience is a byproduct of this love of Christ, so is kindness. And truly, the true test of kindness is when it is shown at home. Does it ever amaze you how easy it is to be kind to a perfect stranger, to a co-worker, to a friend, to a neighbor, but sometimes at home, how difficult it can seem just to be kind? But a biblical love is kind. A Christ-like love is displaying kindness. It's being kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It's kind. But thirdly, we see that love is not jealous. The Bible says this charity envieth not. Now, love and jealousy are exclusive. You cannot love someone and be jealous of them at the same time. This doesn't work. It's an exclusive commodity. And when someone is blessed or promoted or this answer to prayer or this blessing comes in their life, we generally should be happy for them. And all of us face the temptation to be jealous when somebody maybe has something we don't or is doing better than we are or whatever the case may be. There's a tendency maybe to let some jealousy creep into our heart. But when Christ is alive in us, when we are displaying the fruit of love, this love envieth not. It's not a jealous love. And jealousy is not a small thing. Think through the scriptures of what jealousy has done. It's responsible for the first murder in the Bible. Cain took the life of Abel, jealous of how God rewarded him for a sacrifice. And we want to guard our heart from jealousy. How? Displaying the fruit of love, a Christ-like love in us. Fourthly, love does not brag. The Bible says charity vaunteth not itself. A Christ-like biblical love is not conceited. The Corinthian believers struggled with this. They were wrapped up in themselves. In 1 Corinthians 14, 26, the Bible says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you have a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done in edifying. Paul was admonishing these believers, when you get together, everybody wants to sing. Everybody wants to teach. Everybody wants to interpret. Everybody wants to do everything. It's all about them. Paul was admonishing them, that's not a Christ-like love. Love does not brag, vaunteth not itself. It's not absorbed in oneself. And we want to be careful as we live our life that we have a Christ-like love, not vaunting up ourselves. Now, we understand the contrast to that is we want to lift up Christ. Your life and my life this week should not be building ourselves up in front of everyone we come into contact with and home and out of the home. It should be building up Jesus Christ. May people see Christ alive in us. Number five, love is not arrogant. The Bible says is not puffed up. William Carey was a Baptist missionary to India. He knew 23 languages and dialects and interpreted the scriptures into these. And during one trip back to England, he was in a room with scholars and religious leaders, and one of them asked missionary Carey, "I understand once that you were a shoemaker." And William Carey quickly replied and corrected and said, Oh no, I was never a shoemaker. I was a shoe repairman. And William Carey made the decision that he was never going to build himself up beyond what God had blessed him to be. And may you and I make the decision we're not going to be arrogant. A Christ-like love is not puffed up. Again, it's not about us, it's about Him. But we see number six, that love does not behave unbecomingly. The scripture says that charity doth not behave itself unseemly. This means that this Christ-like biblical love is refusing to behave rudely. It's preventing the wrong kind of behavior in one's life. And look again at the believers in Corinth and their difficulty with this, maybe at a church potluck. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:21, "For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken." Here they had come together for fellowship, and it was, "I'm going to get mine before you get yours, and I want to be full. I don't care if you get any, and I'm going to take more than maybe I should." And it was a behavior that was unseemly. It was rude. It was unbecoming. But a Christ-like love, when it is on display, it's not a love that is about us. It is a love about others. Listen. One of the greatest things you and I can do for people to see Christ in us is to be living for others. It's not about, did I get mine? Am I happy? Are all of my needs met? Has this gone according to my plan? But it's about setting out every day, who can I be a blessing to today? Who can I do for today? How can I serve my spouse today? How can I be a blessing to my children? What can I do at work that would be a blessing there in the workplace? What can I do that would allow others to see Christ in me? Because it's not advancing my own pleasure, but rather it is advancing the needs and the wants of those around me. So not a rude behavior, but an others focus. And then number seven, love does not seek its own. The Bible speaks of this charity seeketh not her own. Someone once said that curing selfishness and you would have replanted the Garden of Eden. When God created man and woman and put them in a perfect utopia, life was not about them. Life was about walking with God. But Satan came to them and tempted them to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he told them that the only reason God didn't want them to eat of this fruit was because when they ate of this fruit, they would be like God. That God was preventing them from this blessing. He was preventing them from this supernatural. And if they would partake of this fruit, then they would experience it for themselves. Of course, they took Satan's bait and they quickly discovered that was not the case at all. That God loved them. That God was not preventing any good thing from them. But that God was trying to protect them from sin. In our life today, every one of us make daily choices. What are we going to do with our lives? God has a plan and a will for our life. Much of it is found right here in His precious Word. But every day we have to decide, are we going to follow God? Are we going to live in obedience to God? What are we going to do today? And when we think about being alive in Christ, when we think about the fruit of love being alive in us, it is a fruit that is not seeking its own, but rather it is there to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians challenges you and I in 2:4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And when we're practicing the Christ-like love, we're wanting people to see Christ in us, and we're wanting to be a blessing to others as well. But then number eight, the Bible says that love is not easily provoked. It's not easily aroused to anger. In 1 Peter, we see that Christ, our example, in verse 23 of chapter 2, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. When Jesus hung on the cross, the words that he uttered were, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus is our example, exemplified for us. He was not easily provoked. We sing the song, he could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. He laid down one hand and then the other. And he was hung on that cross. And hanging there, drawing near his last breath, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His life was not about himself. His life was given that you and I might have eternal life. And may you and I display that kind of love in our lives, not easily provoked. It should not be everyone in our family feels like they're on pins and needles. It should not be that people around us are wondering what version of themselves are they today. Is it an okay day to interact and say hi, or do we run for cover? No, a Christ-like love is not easily provoked. They're not difficult to be around. They're just loving like Jesus Christ was. And then number 9, love does not harbor evil. Speaking of this charity, in Corinthians, it thinketh no evil. Love does not keep an account of wrong. Love is not keeping score. Love is not bringing to your attention, well, remember when? Remember when you said this? Remember when you did that? We're talking 10 years ago. Yeah, I know, but that's not a Christ-like love. A Christ-like love thinketh no evil. It doesn't harbor evil. It's not keeping score. It's not keeping an account. God is not interested in assigning blame. He's interested in solving problems. God wants you and I to display Christ alive in us by displaying a love that is not harboring evil. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. When you and I accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior and we were forgiven of our sins, God says, I am giving you the word of reconciliation. What does that mean? God wants you and I to live a reconciled life. First, with Jesus Christ, knowing him as our Savior, our sins paid, and heaven to be our eternal home. But God also wants you and I to live reconciled on this earth in the relationships that we have. The Bible says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. In every marriage represented in this room, God wants you to live the reconciled life right with one another. And God understands, in order for that to happen, you are going to need a Christ-like love. The kind of love that can forgive and forget and move on. And not harbor and gunny sack and remember and always bring up the past, but rather to resolve it, to restore it, and to move on from it. A Christ-like biblical love. And so God teaches you and I this morning in his word. Think about your life. Alive in Christ. Is your love patient this morning? Is your love kind? Is your love not jealous of others and where they are? Is your love not bragging about you all the time? Is your love not arrogant, recognizing life is more than just about us? Does your love behave as it should? Or is it unbecomely or unseemly behavior? Is your love in life about seeking just everything for you, or is it about magnifying Christ and serving others? Is your love easily provoked? Is it easy to ruffle your feathers? Or is Christ alive in you and you can just let that go? Does your love harbor evil and remember everything anyone's ever done to you? Or because God forgave you, have you forgiven and moved on? May you and I understand what the love of Christ is, and then may it be displayed in our life.